Hello again, listeners. This is Brother Larry coming to you talking about the passage in Matthew chapter 7. And if you'd like to turn to Matthew 7, that would be helpful to you. You cannot keep all the words of Jesus unless your heart has been cleansed and transformed by the blood of Christ. And that's the Beatitudes. We talked about that last podcast. In fact, in Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." These Beatitudes are spiritual reality. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. These are not written to the common man, and I've mentioned that before, because the sinner cannot keep them or he cannot practice them. Because their heart must be cleansed first. Half of chapter 5 and all the rest of Jesus' words in this sermon is actually a manifestation of these Beatitudes. You have to acknowledge Jesus is Lord. That's being poor in spirit, that you can't do it yourself, by humbling yourself and confessing your sins before Him. God has shown mercy to you. You have become pure in heart. You desire to live for Him and forsaken all others and what they say. You have made peace with God, and now you have become a peacemaker, Jesus says in the Beatitudes. If you practice these things, if you let Christ live through you, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount starts with the kingdom of heaven and ends with the kingdom of heaven. You have become a wise man, a wise builder for your life and the life of others. I'll emphasize that fact. It's not the fact that we're just building our house, as we read in Ephesians, but we're building our house for others also, that they can partake in our house. So that's important. And that's the theme of Ephesians, is the church, the body of Christ. So many faithful followers of Jesus Christ, Satan wants to aim his fiery arrows at you since you have decided to follow Jesus Christ. You can make a stand, as Ephesians 6 teaches. You have put on the armor of God in the evil day. The storms, winds, and floods, the waters will come, but now your house will stand because you laid your foundation by believing and doing the Word of God. Not just hearing it, but you're doing it. There's the way to battle the evil one. Hearing and doing, and it all comes down to doing means obeying. Doing what the Scripture says, and also stop doing what the Scripture says. You may lose a window or two in your house as you're building during a storm, but the house still stands because you're like Job. You say, "Even though the Lord slays me, I will trust in Him." Amen, brother, sister. Your faith will keep you on a solid rock. You will not listen to those who say, "Curse God and die," like Job's wife did. You will keep building. You will keep trusting, keep believing what God has promised. So let's turn to Matthew 7. That's a way of introductory. Let's turn to, I want to give you some words of encouragement here. We want to be wise builders doing that. So let's read Matthew 7. In fact, I want to go all the way to verse 15 and start there because it's in context and it's important. Because in verse 24, like I said before, we have this word, therefore. It's a conjunction of connectivity, which means it connects what went before into what is going to follow. Therefore. So that therefore can go all the way back to the beginning of the paragraph, which is in verse 13, Or it can go all the way back to the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached when he started. I believe it goes all the way back to the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, and that's why I talked about Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, last week. So, let's just go, for sake of not getting bogged down here, let's go back to verse 15. This is important. Let's read it. Let's read. Just follow along, please. Matthew 7 and verse 15. He starts out saying, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Brothers and sisters, we are under assault. We have an enemy. And guess who's behind the false prophets and the false teaching, especially concerning the Word of God? It is no less than Satan himself. When it has to do with the Word of God, he's the one that distorts it. He's the one that mouths it but doesn't put it into practice. So, beware of false prophets. We do not wrestle against our sinful nature, what we do. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And we wrestle against the wiles of the devil. So, remember, we are in a spiritual battle. As Christians, we must have our minds transformed by the Word of God, as God's Spirit brings His truths to our recall. We must see God from His perspective. What does Jesus say according to Matthew 7 and also the comparative passage, which is Luke chapter 6, in the parable that Jesus gave about the wise and the foolish builders? The first thing we notice that Jesus says is beware of false prophets in verse 15. So, for the foolish builders, first of all, we have those who don't believe in false prophets. This smacks the foolish man right between the eyes, because there is false messiahs. There is false teaching, which implies that Jesus is the truth. He says there are those who are false that will distort his word. So Jesus warns, beware of false prophets. But what is their real identity? They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, what does this mean? Well, we know what a sheep's like. Gentle, humble, God-fearing, living a life of a good Christian, doing good works. But I think because they are labeled as a prophet, Jesus is referring to those who say that they speak for God. This is in a religious context. Remember who's listening, a big part of who's listening to the sermon are the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, religious people. So when he uses the word prophet, he's talking about religious people. Those who say that they speak for God, the leaders of all these, all those who claim to be Christians but are not, if we want to put it in today's language. They are ravening wolves. Check that adjective about a wolf. Ravening, devouring, eating. Satan's here to eat us up. You have declared war on him by committing yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he hates. The word ravening is the word harpax in the Greek. It's the word for extortion. Sound familiar? Some of our preachers today that we see on TV or we look on the internet, Their big deal is extortion. They are the corrupt tree that Jesus uses here in this little parable. When he says in verse 17, or let's start in verse 16, he says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." So these false preachers and these false teachers who are out to deceive you and to draw you away from Christ, put you on the outer fringe and not being near to your Savior, these are corrupt people. They have corrupted the Word of God. They say the Word of God, but they don't practice it. And we're going to learn some other things that they do by looking at what the Bible says about wise and about foolish. Their corrupt, rotten tree can only bring forth rotten fruit, which implies, which is saying, if they're bringing forth fruit, they have offspring, if I can put it that way. They produce offspring, others who are adhering to their false words about Jesus Christ. They are exhorting the hearers of their exhorting. They are fleecing the sheep, the hearers of their money and their lives, these leaders, these false prophets. They twist the Word of God for their own financial gain. You have to beware. And there's some TV preachers like, well, you know, I don't like to name names, but I think if you've listening to some of these people, you might want to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. The one like Kenneth Copeland, who has his own private jet, who likes to fly around, and he preaches the health and wealth gospel, which is absolutely not correct. The Christian life will testify, and they want to say, well, you don't have enough faith. And they destroy Christians' lives. And they're fleecing the flock. They are corrupt. They are rotten to the core. And their great will be the fall of their house. And they will come into judgment. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's going to happen. Judgment time will come. Their house will fall. Maybe not in this life, but it will fall, comes the final judgment. So they came from a corrupt and a rotten tree. What they say can be examined. You don't want to know what their fruit is? Well, what are they saying? We can know who they are, which is verse 16. You shall know them, talking about the false prophets, by their fruits. I don't think it's talking about their fruits. I don't think it's talking about their lifestyle. I think that fruit is talking about what they say. That's what Jesus actually said, if we could read on. And I'll get that in just a second. We can know who they are, verse 16, and the fruit is what they say. And it's also found in Luke 6:45, which says, that's a comparative passage. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. That's the wise man. And an evil man out of the treasure of his heart, see the issue? It's the heart, brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, listen to what it says, his mouth speaks. That's how you can tell who is a false prophet. What do they say? I have listened to Jesse Duplantis, Kenneth Copeland, and they're now in this the range of saying they are gods. They are little gods. That's absolute blasphemy. They take passages of scripture, like in 2 Peter, where it talks about that we're partakers of the divine nature. And they say, well, divine, that makes us divine. Wrong. That's blasphemy. Only God is God. So, out of what he says, out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. By the time these heretics get into the pulpit, it's actually too late. They deceive millions by that time. Their poison is being spread to their listeners, their fruit that they have produced. Remember, it's the heart that Christ desires, not your actions so much. Because from your heart will come your good actions, your good fruit. The false prophets do this for others, for a show, to have the pat on the back. But the heart is the center of a person's life, representing their mind, their emotions and spirit and will, its desires and thoughts and actions. The Bible calls it the springs of life. The heart has to be regenerated by the Spirit of God, and the false prophets' hearts are not regenerated. Because the heart is evil and treacherous and is deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Jesus said in Mark 7:21-23, for from within, out of a man's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. It's from his heart. And a man who hears these sayings and does not practice them. Not talking about the common person that doesn't go to church and just is just indifferent. He's just going his own way. He's talking about those who are sitting in the pulpit, standing in the pulpit, sitting in the pews. And I know many churches like that. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not a divided heart. With all your heart, and lead not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. But let's look at the house building from a physical point, how it relates to the spiritual. And Jesus always gave earthly illustrations to express spiritual truths. You have to look what the Bible says about a wise man and a foolish man. We all, as humans upon this earth, live in houses. We erect them every day. They have a purpose to our lives. But Jesus is using the story of a house as a metaphor for a home. When I say home, it can carry a different meaning altogether, not just a building. Picture the home analogy as your heart, because isn't this what Jesus said in the context of this passage? Context of it, he said, quote, a good man brings forth good things out of the building, the good stored up in his heart. And so it is with the foolish man. Jesus also said in Luke 6:45, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Remember, we are talking about hearing. What you hear, put into practice. So Jesus is talking about his very sermons, his very words. So you as a believer, when you hear it in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not just to hear it and walk away. It's to hear it and put it into practice. We have to ask ourselves, why did these two men build their houses in such a way? What is the spiritual lesson that Jesus is trying to teach you and I? And here it is. If we doubt God's given word, we are not building a foundation. We have no foundation. We're trying to build a house upon our own words, our own philosophies, our own way of doing things, our own ideas, our own plans that are false. If we don't believe it, we will be foolish. And as Christians, as I apply this to the Christian life, as we're talking about those little things that we do to draw near to God, number one is being willing to do it. You have to be willing. Number two is being honest and truthful about yourselves and about your relationship with Christ. And we all know that we need a closer walk with Jesus. And the third thing we're talking about is the Word of God, and that's why we're in Matthew 7. I'm building the house because the house is built. Once those first two are enacted, the house is built upon the Word of God. Now, but the primary context of the passage of Matthew 7 is speaking to those who are, is speaking to the Christian, but is asking them to beware of those false teachers. So actually, he's talking to the believer. But he's talking about what will happen to those who do not practice what they have heard in Jesus' sermon. And when the Bible calls foolish or calls a person a fool, he's talking about, and you can trace this through Scripture, he's talking about an unsaved person. But I'm going to try to apply this to believers, and I think it's applicable to do that, about building our house. And I'm saying if you're not building your house properly, I'm not really calling you a fool like the unsaved. The unsaved doubts the Word of God. You don't. You just haven't taken that initiative and that willingness to draw near to Jesus Christ. We'll pick up on this teaching next week. Well, it's been a blessing. Pass it on. And may the Lord be with you.